One of the reasons that I follow the Lord Jesus Christ is not because it's an easy life. You know, sometimes people say, hey, man, you know, how come, you know, I've given my life to Jesus and things aren't easy? How many of you all found that even if you follow Jesus, things aren't easy? How many of y'all still have crazy stuff happen to you even as a follower of Jesus? Okay, we got to get real. Pastor Jamie, I want to tell you where he is. Y'all are stuck with me tonight. I'm subbing for the great Reverend Dr. Jamie Ward. And the Lord has blessed him all week long. Jamie is at Boy Scout camp with his child sleeping in a pup tent, which he's just overjoyed about. What I'm excited about is the Lord, every day since Jamie's been gone, has produced a thunderstorm in the area of the Boy Scout camp. So Jamie called us from the little boys' room. He said, this is the only place of permanent security in this whole place. And I said, aren't you having a blast? He said, this father-son thing's kind of rough sometimes. Even when you follow God, you'll go through what? Difficulty and storms. And I'm going to show you something. You got to embrace when things go wrong. You got to embrace it. And when things go wrong is when you really find out that what we just sang is going to be absolutely true. God is going to get done what he said he's going to get done, no matter what anybody else says. Now, remember, Moses has gone up to get the second copy of the Ten Commandments. Remember, we doubly broke the first set. First of all the people broke everything God told them not to do. And then Moses gets a little ticked off and he does what? He throws them on the ground. He breaks them. So guess what? Those were God's commands, whether the people broke them or Moses tried to erase them. And remember, God told Moses, chisel out a second tablet. Now note this, Freddie, and I will write it. Now all Moses did is chisel out the tablet. Who wrote it? God. This is my standard, no matter what you say. Now here's where we struggle with God. God is not involved in a democracy. This is what makes him God, and this is what makes us we the people. No matter what we the people say, God is going to do what he said. How many of y'all see the difference there? Because I want you to know that God does not have a contractual relationship with us. Now, for those of you that are married, those of you that are thinking about being married, I want you to see this illustration tonight. Because we're at verse 10, chapter 34. And after God speaks to Moses, he says, I will continue, or I will be making a covenant with you. A covenant with you. Now, one of the reasons I would propose to you is we have a lot of divorce, is we don't understand covenant. We think a covenant is a contract. I've heard this 50 zillion times in my office. Well, if we'll come 50-50, we'll be together. Baloney. That means I'm going to give half of myself and you're going to give half of yourself, and that's a secure situation. In fact, a lot of us view the marriage covenant like this, don't we? Guess what I've heard another 50 zillion times. Well, I'm not happy. You got married. What do you expect? You got married. Marriage is not driven by happiness. It is held together by covenant. And here's the difference. If I'm making a contract, come here, big boy, stand up here. You got to help me preach tonight. Okay? This is covenant. A lot of us think like this. I'm going to do things. I'm going to make you happy. We even do this with God. How many of y'all ever done with this God? God, I'll behave this weekend if you'll just bless me this way. Hey, any of y'all ever done that? I was up in a tree one time when I was 13 years old. I'd already started, you know, doing things I wasn't supposed to do. And a bear had treed us on a hiking trip. And I knew that bear was going to eat me. I thought, what an awful way to die at 13, to be eaten by a bear. So I was up in the tree telling God everything I would stop doing if I just got down from the tree. I got down from the tree and I forgot what I had told God up in the tree. Any of y'all ever done that? Well, this is a contract. This is the relationship of contract. Now pull that apart. Well, wait a minute. Well, what if we just pray more, go to church more, go to Bible study more, listen to Christian CDs? Let's really work on holding the contract. Ready? I'm going to get super spiritual now. You ready?
I'm ready.
Oh! Oh, it's still what? still comes apart. All right, I'm going to get the dainier side of your version for this because you're a big boy and I had to really work. How many of y'all, really, here's what I want you to understand. If you have to work at your spirituality, it's not spirituality. See, spirituality is not produced by us. It is given by the covenant of God. That's why Jesus said things like this. My yoke or my principles or my truth, they are easy. And there's a reason for that. I control them. Now, your interpretation of my yoke can be pretty difficult. This is what marriage is. This is what our relationship and salvation is. This is what covenant is. A covenant is simply held together. All right, pull the covenant apart. Come on, pull it apart. Oh, we got to get some more difficulty than that. Come here, Stuart. I mean, here it is. We're in covenant. All hell has broken loose, all right? The big things have gone on, but we're in covenant. Come on, serious rebellion. Come on!
I'm trying!
Raise some hell, Stuart, come on! Ah, what happens? Now, what did the Bible say in marriage? You got to understand marriage. The best way we can understand covenant is marriage. Now, here's where I'm in a dilemma. In America, we don't do that well because we don't understand covenant. When Elizabeth and I stood up and said, I do, I was done and she was done. And now we were in covenant sealed by God. And because we're sealed by God, guess what? We can do what he says. Same thing happens in Jesus. Tonight, you watch Lewis and Derek. They confessed what had already happened to them in baptism. God made a covenant of grace with them. You know what I believe? I believe they can never be plucked out of the hand of God. Now, there's some theologians that argue with me. They're wrong. And here's why they argue with me. They're trying to save themselves. And they believe if they don't cuss, they're going to heaven. You know how many people we're going to have in hell that never cussed, but will when they get there? I tell you what, at the time of my death, if I feel downward motion, that's probably not going to be good language in my expression. It's about living in the covenant with God. Now go with me. I want to show you tonight what I really want to show you is God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Tomorrow. That's what the letter of James said, and it's true. Now, here's the challenge. For those of you that already believe, I'm going to ask you, will you let God live out his covenant? Now, here's what's so beautiful about this. I don't know about you all, but even as a follower of Jesus Christ, I make some grave mistakes. Any of you all do that? Here's the only hope I have. I have read the book, and it seems like I'm in line with the 12 that Jesus called. They made some blunders. Now, they didn't try to make blunders, but they had this problem. They were human. Any of you all got that problem here? But I have people, they bash churches all the time. They go, there's, I don't know how you can be a part of the church. They have hypocrites. I said, I know. If we could get rid of the humans, we'd have a perfect church. But I said, right now, we still got them. And we have dilemmas. And that's why God makes a covenant with us. Same thing went on with Moses. He said, now look what I'm going to do. The Lord said, who said? Come on, work with me tonight. I love Wednesday night. Who's saying this? Moses is not saying this. The people are not saying this. The governmental political system of the desert life is not saying this. Who is saying this, Cletus? The Lord. Now, how many of y'all believe what the Lord says? I'm going to tell you why I follow Jesus. And I don't follow Jesus just because I grew up in Kentucky and I went to church. In fact, I'm going to be very confessional tonight. I never liked church. I never liked it. I just didn't. I wish I could have been like Derek. Derek likes church. He's 5 years old and he likes church. He likes worship. He likes listening to sermons. He likes going to Bible study. In fact, he even came to Bible study after we canceled it. That's how much he likes church. He wanted to be there. When I was a kid, I was like, get me out of here. Any of you all like that? My favorite time in the week when I was a kid was at 12:05 because it was over. But I loved Jesus. I didn't like church. And then I realized, wait a minute, if you'll fall in love with Jesus, Then you'll begin to understand the covenant he's made with his people. But you better fall in love with who? Jesus. Because he's already madly in love with you. You see, God's madly in love with Moses and he doesn't even know it. And the Lord said, I'm making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. You know why I follow Jesus? God is always good on his promise. Go check it historically. God told this people, the people of Israel, there's historical evidence that they were enslaved to Egypt. There's historical evidence, other than the Bible, that there were a group of people led out of Egypt who were of Hebrew descent who ended up establishing the exact location of land that the Holy Scripture said God was leading them to. When God says it will be done, it will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Now that's what you and I are a part of. And I'm going to challenge you. And some of you are going to get frustrated because I'm kind of excited about the times we live in today. Any of y'all excited about that? I may just be a nut, but I'm excited about the times we live in today. I am so excited that every Monday we get a new crisis in our nation. I have never seen as many crises in the last 6 months than in my entire 45 years of living in the United States. We have more crises than anybody I've ever seen. You know why that is? When you try to save yourself, you'll always be in a crisis. The other day, I got a new puppy about 8 months ago. It's a boxer dog. He and I are becoming really close. I like him. He never argues with me. Whatever I tell him, he believes it. Doesn't listen well, but I was used to that in my house. And so Saturday we got the bright idea. We said, let's see how the dog swims. Oh, no. Did y'all know boxer dogs don't swim well? And so he plops out in the water. And I mean, it was horrible looking. It was like, bloosh, bloosh, bloosh. I did put a life jacket on him. And he's like, bloosh, bloosh. And then you know what? I put my hand up under him. And once he realized that there was something with him, in his crisis, he started swimming along. Now, this is a boxer. It's not a Labrador. And as soon as I remove my hand, bloosh, 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 okay? But isn't that a real way, the way God does with us? I've made a covenant with you. Now, here's the good news about God. He will never remove his hand off you. Even when you're going through difficult times, God's hand is not removed. And we may say, Nick, well, then why don't I feel God's hand? It's probably the crisis is louder than what God said. How many of y'all turn up the volume on the crisis? Pastor Jeff, you and I go through this on some of the associational ministries. And I tell Jeff, he's doing a beautiful job. I'll tell him, I said, Jeff, that's just money. The crisis of this world is not money. The crisis of this world is we don't understand what God has said. Now, here's what I want to challenge you. First point tonight. We ought to do wonderful things so that the world might see we worship a wonderful God. Here's one of the challenges. You young people here, listen, I want you to do something. If you get married, I want you to stay married. He said, oh, Pastor Steve, you don't know what went on in my marriage. Yes, I do know what went on. I have heard everything. I've been doing this now for 28 years. There are no new tricks in the book. They're not. You say, well, my wife doesn't please me. That happens sometimes. Well, my husband is a bonehead. That happens 98% of the time. Now, what you do, instead of looking at where you are in the crisis, you need to go like Moses. You need to bow your head and you need to hear what God has said so that you can go on through. See, in the crisis, sometimes we don't listen. Because I'm telling you, when you get in crisis, it's loud. I don't know about you all, but my pain is a lot more volumized than my conversion at times. What about you guys? You have the same experience? I don't know about you, when it's happening to me, it's a lot worse than when it's happening to you. I can spit out all kinds of Bible verses when it's happening to you. It's hard for me to hear them when it's happening to who? Me. And Moses is saying, what am I going to do with these people? Poor Moses. They've already broken everything God told them to do. He's already cleaned out who's in and who's not. And he's like, Lord, you said we were going to get to the promised land, but that land looks far away right now. He says, Moses, I'm making a covenant with you. You are going to do things the world has never seen. How many of you all are going to do things the world has never seen? You know what pumps me up about seeing kids like Derek? He may do things the world has never seen. What do you think about that? You may do things the world has never seen. And somewhere, we've lost that in this nation. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to show me who I am, because I have a God that has told me who I am. You see the difference? And I think this is the greatest time of all, because guess what? If followers of Jesus will be followers of Jesus, we're going to have a lot of people really looking to see what goes on with those people. We're going to have to do it. We're going to have to be it. We're going to have to live it. The wonder that the world has never seen. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. All right, now, what engages the understanding of God? Obedience. How many of y'all want to do like this? You want to live opposite of what God has said and expect the fruits of what God will give. Any of y'all tried that one? I'm not going to do anything God says, but then I'm going to whine and cry when I don't get what God has promised. You will not receive what God has promised unless you do what God has said. Does that make sense? Now, listen, we live in a weak church in America. You know why? Let's be honest. We got to be honest to get better. We haven't done what God said to do. I dream of the day, and it's going to happen here, man. I dream of the day when we come in this church and worship will take your head off. Just worshiping God, people will be going, oh, no, who's in here? Now, we got a little bit of that today, but you know what? We're not everybody's all out into it. This is the time for everybody to be all out, living out their faith. Young men and women, you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to stand up in universities and say, you know what, professor? I respectfully disagree with your position. I'm a testimony that you can graduate from our educational institutions in the United States of America and respectfully disagree with their positions. Even if they're from Harvard. I had a Harvard professor, and she became very upset with me when I used her own research from the mid-70s to disprove her theory in the 90s. And she said, where did you get that research? I said, you wrote it in 1976. I said, you're so smart, you don't even remember where you used to stand. You see, sometimes, I want you to know this is possible. You can evolve into ignorance. You can become so well read, you don't know who you are. Because you've read so many opinions, you don't hear what God has said. Now, for followers of Jesus, I'm going to stand on what Jesus has said. Let me give you three things Jesus has said about you that you need to stand on, just like the people of Moses stood on. First of all, how many of you understand Jesus has said your sin is forgiven? Okay, if that be true, why the guilt trip? See, eventually it's got to be true. People are really tired of seeing people who say, my sins are forgiven, and then they're ridden with all this guilt. Second, Jesus forgives to reestablish. You say, Pastor, you don't understand, man, I've been through some blows. Hey, we all have been through some stuff. Okay? Here's the reason we don't need to be judgmental. Everybody's got something. Even the extremely holy people you see running around, they got a lot of stuff. That's why they run around with all those blankets. If you meet somebody that has never said, I'm sorry, I don't do anything wrong, please approach them with deep caution. Because they're hiding a lot of things. And here's the cool thing about God. God doesn't hide. He reveals so he can reestablish. So you're established and reestablished in grace. I see her. To do something great. Okay? To do something what? Great. And here's the third thing. There is an ultimate end to this journey. Heaven. So let's look at who God told us we are in Jesus Christ. We're forgiven creatures. We're reestablished creatures, and we will end up in heaven. Are all three of these things good news to you? So we ought to be the most good news people that walk the face of the earth. It may be tough for the moment, but God will move out of the way the obstacles. Look what he does for Moses. He says, Moses, I'm going to remove the people that you're scared of. I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The ites are going. Now, who were these folks at the moment of time? These were powerfully established nations. He said, Moses, you do not have to fear what is established. Why? I made a promise to you. And I'm good for the activity to get you there. And so I really want to enlighten all of us to be reminded the promise for us is what? What's our promised land? How many of y'all, anybody glad about that? I'm glad God didn't say this. I'm glad to not be a Muslim. I would have never been a good Muslim. I would have been a schizophrenic, bipolar Muslim. And you watch, I have deep sympathy for my Muslim brethren because I'm going to tell you what, no wonder they're going crazy. Here's their deal. They have to follow the five pillars. Right there would take half a Hillview out. You have to follow them. You cannot modify them. You cannot adjust them. These are the five pillars. You do these five pillars, and at the end of your life, Allah may take you or he may not take you. Now, how many of you, if you believe that, you might be a little anxious in your life? And here we are, the people of grace who can say, I have a deep security that God will do what he said he's going to do. We have a loving God, a forgiving God, a reestablishing God, and a God that guarantees us heaven by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, who not only said we were going there, made a covenant sealed in blood so we could arrive. See how powerful that is? If God can move out the nations, can God move out the things in your life that keep you from living out the promises he's given you? What do you think? Talk to me. Absolutely. Because let me see, the last part of this is he says, be careful. Verse 15. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land for they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them. They will invite you and you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, those daughters will prostitute themselves to their gods and they will lead your sons to do the same. This is some very strong language in here. Here's what Jesus is saying. Here's what God is saying. If you're going to be his, you're his. And here's what we need to be careful of. Don't hold hands with things that won't bless you. Now, I've been in a marriage covenant come December, be 25 years. I'm tripping. Was that silver or something, anniversary or something? Most of my friends didn't make it to the copper anniversary, okay? So I'm excited that God will do what he said what? He could do. Well, You know, I'm married to Elizabeth. I'm not a jealous kind of guy. But you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to show you this covenant relationship. What if I was walking down the Bowling Green Mall and there's Elizabeth just holding hands with another guy walking down the mall? What do y'all think my reaction would be, knowing that we've established I could go schizo. Hold on. I just want y'all to know, I would not be happy with that situation. I would not go, you know, Elizabeth, I know that your hand was cold and you just needed somebody to hold it. And I'm glad that that was an intriguing emotional experience for you. And it may have been a new hand. And I'm sorry that I don't hold hands with you in the mall because I just don't do that. And you've known that. And that was part of the covenant on the original deal. But I'm a little disturbed that you're walking down the mall holding hands with another guy. Why? Because we have a covenant. Now do you understand God? God's not worried about the other gods. He's worried about you not paying attention to the covenant that He's spoken in your life. When He says, I'm a jealous God, that doesn't mean He's like worried about other things. That means I am so in love with you, I want your attention, says the Lord. And He said, so when you go through the land, He said, I'm going to move it out of the way. He says, be careful to not embrace the land. Now, Hillview, we got to work on this too. Here's the problem with living in the land. It's hard not to embrace the what? The land. A lot of churches in America are going to see a lot of destruction because guess what they really believe? In fact, 2 years, 3 years ago, I was extremely disappointed in our denomination. I was up at the KGB headquarters. And as I walked through there, the executive director, I've never found that title in the Bible. He was more excited about what we had given to the denomination than the souls that had been baptized. Now, you all know me. I could not remain silent. And I said, with all due respect, sir, let me show you the important number that you received from this church. I said, the devil can hand you money, but only God can save a soul. You will not build the church by money. You will only build a covenant community by following what God says. So I want to challenge you in the 21st century. It's going to be tough. I'm not going to fool you. If you stand up for the things of God, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be talked about. I do want to tell you, I've been talked about all my life. You can sleep without medication, even though they do that. Why? You got to decide who you want to listen to. You know, I love you all, but none of you all are going to be making the decision between heaven and hell for people's eternity. What do you think? None of you are going to be doing that. You're not Jesus. Bob, I mean, you're cool, but you're not going to be standing at the gates of heaven going in, out. That ain't your call. You're going to be standing there with the rest of us with your tideless visor on going, God, you're good with the promise. And let me show you why we're going into heaven. Guess why we're going into heaven? Because Jesus said you could. He said He would remove our sin. He would place us in the promise. And He would secure our position with Him. Now, I don't know about you. I'm going to close on this. That brings great hope into my life. What about yours? That God's good for what He said He's going to do. Now, I don't want to bash on humans. I think humans are wonderful things. Here's why I think humans are wonderful things. That's what God decided to save. God didn't save whales. People do. Jesus did not get on the cross and go, I am now dying for the whales in Alaska. You know, Jesus really doesn't get all disturbed about that polar bear that's been sitting on that iceberg for the past 25 years, experiencing global warming. That's not Jesus' gig. You are. I believe this. When Jesus was on the cross, since He was God, I think He saw us before we saw us. And He said, it is finished. And the curtain was torn because the covenant continued. There's a reason the curtain was torn, not just because there was access to God. It was the access to God's original covenant now continues in grace. Jesus tore the curtain because the real high priest went to the cross. And now the holy covenant, and literally, see if you can capture this, the Holy of Holies resides in the covenant of grace, in your spirit soul. Most holy God in humanity. That's mind-boggling. It's possible. And it happens because it is happening. Isn't that great? So I want to invite you all tonight. Some of you may not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how in the world do I receive a relationship with Jesus Christ? First of all, I want to go over this real briefly. You can't earn it. And the reason I keep bringing that up, in fact, somebody asked me one Sunday, they said, why do you always tell us we can't earn our salvation? I said, because we're from South Central Kentucky. They said, what's that got to do with it? I said, every one of us grew up in some country church where they started out, gave a list of morals, and if any of us failed in them, we were going to hell. I said, I was so relieved to read the Bible and find out that wasn't the case. In fact, I found the real truth was we all broke the rules. Even the good people broke the rules. Even that blue-haired woman that looked like she never sinned in church broke the rules. Even her, the one that was going, can you believe they wore that to church? And I wanted to look at her. Yes, I can, because she can wear it, girl. That, see what I'm saying? You know. Here's the deal. Jesus said, all have fallen short, except who? Jesus. Now, let's talk about mercy for a minute. Jesus, the one who did not fall short, turned around to humanity, extended the covenant of grace, and said, come follow me. Where are we going, Lord? All the way into heaven. What's going to happen along the way? You're going to learn how to love. You're going to be filled with joy instead of grief. You're going to finally be at peace that God made you. And guess what? We need you. You'll become gentler. You'll start being kind instead of rude and obnoxious and selfish. Those are high qualities. You know what? You're not going to quit because you're under the grace of a faithful God. No matter what. You'll be more self-controlled. And you'll be able to manage the chaos that surrounds you. If you don't have a relationship with that, his name is Jesus, and he would love to have you. So how do you know? He's in the people. He's been doing it for over 2,000 years. He loves you. Well, Pastor Faber, you don't know what I've done. Yeah, I do. You sinned. He said, yeah, but it was a really bad one. They're not ranked. There's not like really, really bad sin, kind of bad sin, almost sin. There's just what? Sin. It all stinks. It all stinks. It stinks. Let me tell you what it doesn't stink. Grace. That while we were sinful, Jesus was merciful and said, you and I are what? Forgiven. Come follow me. I'll take care of the Jebusites. I'll take care of the chaos. I got a health care plan. Follow Jesus. It has a good death benefit. Eternity in heaven. See, here's what I want. Okay, so you're healthy here on earth and you die and you end up in hell. How intelligent is that? And you eat all that food that doesn't taste good so you can live 3 years longer here on earth. I'd rather have high caloric food, die early, and live in heaven forever eating off a fatted calf. I do not have any mention of Brussels sprouts in the Bible, and I praise God for that. In fact, he said, remember the prodigal son, man, when he came home? This is an indication that Baptists weren't mentioned a lot in the Bible either. Because what did they kill when the young man came home? No, I know chickens. It's what? Fatted calf. What does that mean? Well, I have, Robert, I have a modern day interpretation to that. Prime rib. Prime rib. That's the kind of God you have. And for those of you that think the kingdom of God is boring, what broke out after dinner in the prime rib? Dancing! I'm so glad that was in there. I used to show it to my pastor all the time. What do you do with this lost boy came home, man? They were getting down, Rev. Right here in the holy text, they were dancing. And the only guy that was ticked off about the situation was the elder brother that looked a whole lot like you. mad that these sinners would be redeemed by the Heavenly Father's grace in Jesus in celebrating life. So I think we need to celebrate on the way to the promised land. Ours is named heaven. Amen. All right, well, let's stand together. If you need to make a decision, there's some deacons and other pastors in here. Be glad to pray with you. If you haven't been baptized yet, okay, listen, please listen to me. Some of y'all have been believers for a while. You haven't got baptized yet. You watched Lewis and Derek be baptized tonight. Guess what they were doing? They were doing what God asked them to what? Do. If you're scared of baptism, let me give you a report on baptism. I've done a study of it. I've seen several thousand baptisms in my ministry, and I give God the glory for that. I have never seen a baptism yet harm a human being. I've never seen a harm. We have not seen anybody drowned. We have not seen anybody come out of the baptistry and go, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Now, I can't say that about weddings, but I can say that about baptism, okay? That's how powerful it is, all right? Let's pray. Lord, you love us. And right now I'm just asking you, God, that I know there's some folk here that for the first time in their lives need to ask you, Jesus, to come in their life. If that's you, just pray with him. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I realize that tonight. I've not done the things you've asked me to do. But tonight, Jesus, I want to change that. I'm asking you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my life, to be good with your word, just like you were with Moses. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. And I thank you that you died on a cross for me and you've risen from the grave. Just tell him that. Maybe tonight you need to be baptized and you hadn't done that yet. And you need to come and say, hey, I need to talk about that. I need to get that taken care of. We'd be glad for that to happen to you. Maybe you just need to come and pray and say, God, thank you for not letting go of me. Maybe you need to thank God that you're in covenant and not in contract. He will not let go of you. Amen. All right, church, for just a moment or two, if you don't mind, the altar's open. So come and let's just have a moment with God.